Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are trading. December hard red winter wheat on this Monday morning, 756, up 5 3/4. March, 755.5, up 6. Soft December wheat, 692, up 5. March, 701.5, up 5 1/4. December corn, 445.5, up 2 1/4. March, 458, up 2. July, 473.5, up 1 3/4. Go out to December of 14 at 486.25, up 1 1/4. November soybeans, 1289.5, down 5.5. January, 1290, down 5. July, 1248, down 5 1/4. October soybean meal, 430, down 130. December, 417.20, down 120. October soybean oil, 39.83, down 16. December, 39.95, down 29. October live cattle, 127.97.5, down 7.5. October feeders, 164.35, down 10. And October lean hogs, 91.62.5, down 22.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Dave.
Welcome to week two of the blackout.
The lights went out in Georgia or something, I guess, huh?
Something along those lines. No export inspections report in 8 minutes. No crop progress report at the end of this day. Probably no export report on Thursday, although we could see that one if the government were to reopen tomorrow. And certainly no crop production report on Friday. WASD, again, they could get that one done on a quicker timetable, give them another day for that one. So essentially we are trading what this week?
Well, we're kind of watching the private industry to see what they come up with. Nobody's getting real aggressive, until we get some solid, information back on track from the government. It's amazing how much you miss. It's like electricity when it's not on. It's when you realize, well, I kind of relied on it a little bit. So the volume's been relatively light. The main thing I think you got to keep in mind is going into this fall, the commodity funds, the trading funds particularly, was short corn, short wheat, long beans. And I think, when you look at commodity trading strategies, you go back in history, oftentimes you record some fall lows, particularly in corn. And I think they're using harvest pressure to come out of short corn positions here. With such a huge, huge position, you got to do that over time. So I think what's really taken hold in here is unwinding the spread. That's why we're seeing corn a little firmer, beans weak, and the wheat up somewhat. And I think fundamentally, the wheat, harvest is fairly well wrapped up. The thing is, the trade's watching Russia, and they've been extremely wet in some areas, and the idea is they might not get all their wheat in a timely fashion, and that could put a little strain on that wheat coming out of the Russian area. So there's several things to watch in through here, but the number one thing is short-term weather. It looks somewhat favorable here as we go through the week. And we expect to see some additional harvest pressure continue here as producers continue to report pleasantly better than expected yields.
Could the funds get to themselves in a bind if producers in mass put their crops into the empty storage bins and there's little grain going forward?
Well, it's kind of hard to get everybody on the same page, but right now, producers are not really willing to sell right at the moment here. They're, unless the opportunity arises, they're looking at taking advantage of the empty storage space and sitting on cash grain for now, with the idea that the market should improve here on basis as we go into this winter. There's real no so-called cash flow needs right at the moment. And ideas are that cash flow needs will pick up after the first of the year, and we will maybe see guys a little bit more willing to let loose a cash grain than in a large amount. But no, it's kind of a cat and mouse. End user needs some grain. Producer's got the grain. So, you know, we'll see how that works out here as we go through harvest.
I guess the question then becomes for the individual producer is, where are they relative to their crop given their APH? Because truthfully, 450 times 200 works.
Yeah, when you look at, you know, the high yields and you do the math on it, it's still very lucrative to, you know, just go ahead and move the cash grain and replace ownership on paper. The idea is that if we do see some strength here this winter, it'll be off the southern hemisphere weather concerns. And if not, you know, it's going to be awful hard to go a whole lot higher. So it's kind of a win-win situation. That'd probably be the number one strategy going into this fall here. You know, if you can move some cash grain, take the money and go to Florida and not worry about it.
And if your APH is, what you're harvesting is less than your APH, you got 2 weeks to see what the insurance is going to look like.
Yeah, that's one thing. You got guys rooting for lower prices so they get a decent insurance payment if they're with that type of policy, but yet too after that it's over with, you rooting for it to go up. So
right.
Guys really don't know whether they want it to go up or down. But one thing you got to remember is that insurance runs out here, and once you get into this winter, what downside protection do you have? And so don't forget about, you know, managing that risk time window until you actually physically price the cash grain.
Okay, let's look at the technicals, because that is one thing we can still see. Wonder if you would be so bold to say the wheat market has made a low.
Oh, I think we've made a low, but I think it's going to be awful hard to move a whole lot above this 725 level basis December futures, from the fact we still have plenty of world wheat supplies, plenty of feed grain supplies around. I think it's more of a logistic type of market here as we go through the winter. The unwinding of the spread, you know, it has helped wheat quite a bit. And we'll have to continue to watch the wheat progress here from the standpoint of the Western Bell here, see how they fare getting a wheat crop in and what type of weather we see here this winter.
Do you feel corn will continue to grind sideways to lower?
I think we're in a sideways trading range. I kind of feel the lower end of this 425 area. Upper end here, today's high at this 448 area is about halfway back up to the high we made prior to the government shutdown there a week ago Monday. So we'll probably consolidate. I don't know if I'm quite as bearish as what they talked about on Commodity Week, but over the short term in here, I feel we'll carve out a fall low and try to see some price recovery going into December. And after the first year here, it's really going to depend on South American forecasts and producer selling habits.
At what price do November soybeans have to reach on the upside for you to be convinced that the low that we saw at the beginning of October is a harvest low?
Well, I think it's a cyclical low. If you count low to low, the November bean chart's been right on the money, recording an 8-week low. There's been a couple of about seven and a half weeks, but I think it's short-term low. I think it's probably the function that the up front here is going to remain probably firm, and that's probably a low for the front end, for say, or an area where it should catch over time, but that back end is going to continue to struggle, especially if we have no weather concerns in the southern hemisphere, Dave.
Thank you much, Kurt.
Take care.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. December corn, 446, up 2 3/4. July, 473.5, up 1 3/4. November beans, 1291 3/4, down 3 1/4. July, 1250 3/4, down 2.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.